Well, good morning. Well, our time this session is very limited, so I will need your help concentrating with me and reading with me, okay? As I mentioned yesterday, while we're speaking about the limits, we said that when we speak about David, we will speak about his fall in some details, because this is one great man. He's one of the great men of the Bible, of course. The mighty one who fought Goliath, who won many wars and things like that, but he fell. What does that mean? It means that whatever your spiritual state is, whatever your strength is, you are subjected to fall. And from the fall of David, we will learn what prepared him to fall and what happened after he already fell. Okay? So, I would like to read the whole chapter of 2 Samuel 11, so I need help of many of you. Okay, I need something like 5 of you to read with me. Everyone will read a screen, one of the screens. 5 of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1. Help. Guys. I need another 4. Samuel, start, okay? Who's else? I need some help in reading. Two, three, that's good. Patrick, 4, and Raghu, 5, okay. So in this sequence, we will read. Let's please read from this to... Okay.
In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they arrived at the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon, when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanliness. Then she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant."
So David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was doing, and how the people were doing, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." And Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord, and did not go down to his house. When they told David Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, "Have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark in Israel and Judah dwell in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your souls live, I will not do this thing."
Then David said to Uriah, "Remain here today also, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next, and David invited him, and he ate in his presence and drank, so that he made him drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of the Lord, but he did not go down to his house. In the morning David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him, that he may be struck down and die." And as Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the servants of David among the people fell. Uriah the Hittite also died.
Then Joab sent and told David all the news about fighting, and he instructed the messenger, "When you have finished telling all the news about the fighting to the king, and if the king's anger rises, and if he says to you, 'Why did you go so near the city of the fight?' Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Gil Abed-Mitiah, the son of Jebusai, did not a woman cast an upper Muslim on him from the wall? So he died at the Tabiz. Why did you go so near the wall? Then you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and told David that Joab had sent him to tell. The messenger said to David, men gained an advantage over us and came all against us in the field, but we drove them back to the entrance of the gate.
Then the archers shot at your servants from the wall. Some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. David said to the messenger, thus shall you say to Joab, do not let this matter trouble you, for the sword devours now one and now another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it, and encourage him. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she lamented over her husband. And when the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord.
Okay. As I told you, we will split our talk into two topics. What happened before the fall? What prepared David to fall? Some things prepare us to fall. Okay. And then what he did after this. The first thing that what happened was post-victory. What does I mean by post-victory? In the start of the chapter, we find that it linked with the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, David won a wonderful war. As a man of war, he was always victorious. So sometimes a good time, a blessed time, some victory, some ministry in some place, some service, something good to the Lord may prepare us to fall. It's amazing. Victory leads to fall. This is what happened with David. David started from victory at chapter 10, 9 and 10, and then to fall at chapter 11. Okay? Because he should be aware that when I'm in the best condition, I have to be aware this is not the end of the war. It is one of the battles in the war. One of the things that I have considered, that when I find myself happy with the Lord, in fellowship with him, after a good conference like this, after some service or sharing some ministry with others, it's very dangerous at that time. Because at that time, David fall. Some victory in our lives does not guarantee that we will never fall. But vice versa, we can say that it may be one of the dangers in our life. We will see what we have to do after this. But first, we will mention what prepared him to fall, and then what happened when he fell, and then we will do what we have to make them precaution to us. The second thing, that as a king and as a man of war, as David always was with his people in the war, he should be in the battle, not in his bed. He should be in the battle, and he should understand that while we are, and when I said we are, I mean those who are saved, who passed the things we spoke about the few the few days before. Okay, we said that it's not the matter of being in a Christian family. It's not a matter of being attending the church. It's the matter of have a decision and came back in repentance to the Lord. I'm speaking today about those who started with the Lord already. We have to understand that when I'm in relationship with the Lord, the devil, the enemy, is in war with me. He is trying to stumble me. He's trying to let me fall by many ways. So if I forget for some time that I'm in a war, a spiritual war, I mean, that I'm targeted by this enemy to let me fall. If I forget this for a time, this means that I am subjected to fall. Then laziness. If you follow the account of this story, you'll find him until the evening in his bed. just laying in his bed, like his son Solomon said after this in the Proverbs, that the lazy man is on his bed just turning right and turning left, like the door is turning right and left all the day. What he was he doing? He was lazy, just lazy. And you know, the laziness time is the best time for the enemy to let us fall. In the laziness time, he puts some thoughts in our minds. In the laziness time, he calls us to make some bad actions, some bad behaviors. So we have to understand this is one of the things that prepared David to be in that great fall. Then the spare time. So much time doing nothing. So much time having nothing to do at all. That spare time is one of the things that prepared David to fall. We have to understand that having, especially in the vacations, I know that you are going to the school after the conference, but at least in the weekends, in the days that we have enough time to utilize your time, because leaving spare time, so much spare time, is a good opportunity for the enemy to let us have some bad thoughts and then to fall. And then, like we said yesterday, no parapet. And this is exactly what it said in the account. He went into the roof. There is no parapet on the roof. The parapet, once again, is a little wall, something like that tall, to avoid people from falling from the roof. David has no parapet. And at that time, he fell. What happened that he looked, because there is no parapet, he can see, he can meditate, he can take his time, he can do everything. The law in Deuteronomy yesterday, in the verse of Deuteronomy which we read, said that you have to make the parapet so that nobody will be killed from this. At that time, we can say that spiritually David killed himself at that time. Okay, so he was prepared, fully prepared for the law, for the fall, because he have victory, but he didn't consider that this victory is only from God, and once he is away from God, that means that he is not in victory at all. He left the battle. He has enough time, more time, more spare time. He was lazy at that time. He has no limits. Let us say no parapet, like, let us use the language of yesterday. He has no limits of his thoughts, of his actions, of his emotions, of everything. He didn't put the limits. No limits means that we are subjected to fall very hardly. What happened after the fall and what happened during the fall is very important to notice. The first thing, the effect of the eye. What is the beginning of the fall? He what? He saw, okay? His eyes. And always as our eyes is the first gate for the enemy to let us fall. You know, I like this. If you follow in the Bible, the eyes of Samson, like yesterday we said about him, the eyes of Samson caused him to fall. Actually, it caused a disaster for his life. The eyes of, I don't know if I'll pronounce it right in English or not, Achan? Achan, okay. Of the eyes of Achan caused him to fall, okay. The eyes of many people in the Bible and until today will cause us to fall. Sometime when I see something not belongs to me, but I like it because I see it good, I may think about take it while it's not mine. It's not necessarily these things will be an object. Sometimes it's some dignity. Sometimes it is some emotions, some relationship does not belong to me, like what happened in David's case. It's not your woman. It's not the one to look for. But at that time, his eyes led him. We have to consider well what we see. Yesterday, the day before, in our games, we found that not all what we see is truly right. We see, we saw the elephant with five or six legs, which is not the truth. Okay? We saw many things. We diverged into two teams, whether there is some white or black dots, if you remember. Okay? Not all what we see is right. So we have to consider this rightly. Then, rejecting the warning. There was some warning in the action. One of the servants of the king said, "This is the wife of Uriah." As a servant, he can say to the king, "You are wrong." But he's trying to remind him that this is the wife of another man. That means that what you are going to do is committing adultery. And he repeated it. And the Bible repeated it. So that he want to say that there was some warning to David. David, you are going to make sin. You are going to make sin. And many times this happened in our lives. The warning may come in some lecture like this, when the Lord say to you something. I'm happy that many of you respond to the messages and take some actions, some good actions in the discussions. That's very wonderful. And this is what is expected from a good one to do. But many times when I hear the warning in the meeting, I said, this is not mine. Okay? Or I can make it, this is for another one. This is, it doesn't mean that this is the Lord, what the Lord wants me to say, to see. The Lord may warn us by some things in our lives. He's trying to stop us. Things go in a wrong way. As if the Lord want to say to me, stop. But at that time, David didn't hear the warning. Consider as if everything is okay. David, what about somebody telling you this is the wife of some man? Didn't you hear that? Of course, what happened that he heard that. So what about that? What's your response about this warning? So many times the Lord warning every one of us, attention, you are going into a very dangerous place. You have to stop at that time. He didn't. He rejected the warning, and then he did the sin. And he did the sin after planning and doing things. It's not a matter of something happened by accident. It happened by his own will. And this is the sin in itself, that doing my will, even it is against God's will. And this is what happened in the case of David. And then what's worse, is that he tried to cover his sin. Did you see half of the chapter? The first one-third of the first half is how he committed the adultery. But the second half is how he is trying to cover his sin. All what he wants to, that nobody blame him, that nobody know that he did that. So he tried to bring the husband of this woman so that it will appear like this is his son, and his son, what happened is his son. Not more than that she is conceived from him, not from David. He tried a lot of tricks. He bring him from the war and said to him, go to your home. But this faithful man said, it's not the good time, not the proper time to go to my home. My head is in the battle. How shameful. The soldier is thinking about the battle, and the king forgot about it. Wow. Sometimes those who we consider should be more aware, forget about everything. And those who are faithful, only faithful, look to the Lord's battle at that time. He tried another trick. He let him drunk. Still, nothing happened. You know what happened? Because trying to cover our sins lead us to sin more and more and more, and to let our sin be bigger and bigger and bigger. What happened at that time? That he ordered his commander that he put Uriah in the front of the hard wall, so that he guaranteed that this man will die, and this is what happened. And after he died, he took his wife to be his wife, as if he is trying just to cover what happened. But you can cover your sin from others' eyes. And maybe you can cover your sin from your own eyes. But you will never can cover your sin from God's eye. And this is what the story tells us. The fourth thing, that he forget about it. Okay, everything is okay now. Nobody will blame me. This son is mine, and I'm her husband now, because he took her as a wife. I'm her husband now, and everything will be okay for me. Everything will be okay for him, maybe, for a while of time, but every note is not okay for the Lord. Do you remember what is the last verse we read? What happened? Displeased the Lord. What happened? Displeased the Lord. And as if after this long account about the fall of this great man, he would like to say that the plan of David succeeded by the measure of men. But by the measure of God, he did not succeed. Because this did not please the Lord. After a long time, the Lord sent to him Nathan, the prophet. And Nathan account him some imaginary story. He told him two men, a rich one and a poor one. A rich one have everything and the poor one have only one goat. He love her. He treats her as his daughter. And one day the rich man have some guests. And he decided to make some meal for him, for this guest. And then he think about taking the goat of the poor man to make the meal with it. David, wow, this man here, he should be killed. Nathan told him, you are the man. You are the man. And maybe today some one of us need to hear that. You are the man. You are the girl. You are the woman. Okay? You are the one who did that. You are the one who did like David. Because, you know, committing adultery in the New Testament is not by doing only, but sometimes by thinking. Sometimes by think about somebody, some emotions, some relationship, which is not in the same time. So we have five things before fall and five things after fall. What we have to consider in every one of this? I'll mention in a few minutes to finish in our time. The first thing we think that it was post-victory. First thing we have to understand that we have to judge rightly. This victory is not from my strength. Any good spiritual condition is not because I am good. Any good spiritual condition because God is good. Because of his grace that he gave me all these things. And I have to consider that in myself I'm not good, I'm not better than anybody. I'm as worse as everybody, but I depend on the grace of God. If I do not depend on it, I will think of myself higher than I am, and then I'm subjected to fall at that time. Secondly, we said that we have to be in the battle. Be ready. Be ready for the battle. And I will direct you to a chapter in the Bible, which is Ephesians 6, to read about the spiritual battle we are facing. Okay? We don't have time now to read it, but please read it in your spare time or in your discussion time. The battle is well described in Ephesians 6. The battle with the enemy, the devil, and how we can protect ourselves from this battle. So be prepared. Don't be lazy. Be diligent. Try to do your best in everything. If you refer to the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is a book that addressed to young people. In the beginning of this book, Solomon said that he write this to young people, to young people especially. And you will find that laziness and vice versa is the most important topic for every one of us in this book. If you read, by the way, if you read Proverbs, you'll find so many advices concerning everything in your, every aspect in your life, but especially in the aspect of laziness and diligence. The fourth thing, don't leave yourself with spare time. Stay busy doing something good, helping others, studying something for yourself, for your own, playing music, drawing, some hobby, something. Put yourself in always in a busy schedule. Let your schedule be always busy by things that you will be, by some beneficial things that you will find some benefits from it. Maybe study a foreign language, maybe study some computer program in some area you like, maybe doing some hobbies, learning some handcraft, something like this. But keep yourself busy as possible, because whenever you are busy, you don't have time, and Satan don't have time to put bad ideas in your mind. And then, in a little word, and I refer you to yesterday, keep limits. Keep limits. Okay? What if we... what if it happened and I fall? What it will happen? Okay, let us remind ourselves, first of all, remind yourself that your eyes should not let you stumble. The Lord said, tear it. Not literally, but it means that tell your eyes you are not the only gate to me, for me. Tell your eyes that you are not to lead me to sin. You have to set limits to your eyes as well, and to tell yourself, not everything I see is right, not everything I see is, this is the fact, this is the truth, I have to understand and think about it. When he rejected the warning, I urge you, accept and act upon the warnings the Lord give you. When you feel that this word is for you, and please try to do it always, this warned me from this and that. I have to understand that when the Lord sent me a warning, it's only for my good. And I have to accept it, not to be defending this warning and say to myself, it's not mine, I'm not wrong, I'm not. Sometimes it's good to understand that we did something wrong, because knowing that in as early as possible means less loss in our lives. The third thing is doing the sin, be at God's side. What happened in David's story can be completed with Psalm 51. Because after Nathan said to him, you are the man, he said, I sinned. But in Psalm 51, he said, against whom he sinned? He said to the Lord, I sinned against you. Against you. At that time, when I put myself in the side of the Lord, as if I told him that I'm wrong, I will see things by your eyes, and I'll be in your side, and I'll do whatever will please you. Don't try to cover. Don't try to cover. Keep your in like your out. Keep what's inside you appears in your life. Whatever you don't want to be known for the people, don't do it. Whatever you can't declare to others, don't do it. Do whatever you will be proud to do. If you do something good, no problem that others know. But if you do something bad, you have to consider that. Don't try to cover your sins. Try to live inside like outside, to be visible to others, and of course to be visible to the Lord himself. And again, don't think that time will let everybody forget. Time will let others forget. Time will let you forget. But God will never forget accept if you came in repentance to him. Read Psalm 51. Now I refer to two passages, okay? Ephesians 6 and Psalm 51, okay? I will ask you after a few minutes, okay? Two passages from the Bible, Ephesians 6 and Psalm 51. If you read Psalm 51, this is what cured the situation for David. He came in repentance to the Lord and said to the Lord, I have sinned against you, and I depend on your mercy so that you will forgive me and give me a better life and give me a life that is pure, a pure heart, so that I can live the life you want me to do. So, if you made some sin, not necessarily like David's, lying is a sin, hating is a sin, many things you know from your childhood that is a sin, if you did this, that it's the time today to come to the Lord and say to him, Lord, I sinned against you, and I'm waiting for your forgiveness. Let us remind ourselves that there are things that prepare us to fall, and things happen when we fall already. And we have to be prepared well, like we said, and like we will discuss in the discussions groups. And if it happened that we made some sin, we have to come back to the Lord in repentance. What is the two passages we will read? Ephesians 6 and Psalm 51. Good. And now let us have a few minutes. Okay. Okay, Ned. Okay.
I know you've mentioned a few times with respect to if one falls, there's some things that we can do. But when it comes to the eye specifically, can you give us some your opinion when it comes to the electronic age now when we are living, how we can protect ourselves when it comes to the eye, because now everything is very accessible.
Okay.
And it's open to almost anybody. So can you give some suggestions or your opinion on this?
Yes, the key with using electronics is the first 30 seconds. Okay, let us say the first 30 seconds rule. The problem is not to see something bad. The problem is remain watching this bad thing. Because sometimes in electronics or even in the real life, I may see some scene that will cause me to make sin. You know, in the first 30 seconds, it's your time to escape. Okay? And know this strategy and this technique. It's the time to escape in the first 30 seconds. If you remain more than this, you are going to fall. So, sometimes some advertisements, some links, maybe I pushed in by accident, things like this, may lead me to some place was wrong. Don't let your curiosity leads you to see what is this and spend time there. Remember this word, the 30 seconds rule. Okay? In the first 30 seconds, you can escape. After this, you will not be able to do. So please remember that. When you find yourself in some place, you are not familiar, you are not thinking that this is the right place for you, just skip. Back, push the back button, close the mobile at that time, and take your time and pray to the Lord. Lord, please let me escape like Joseph did at that time. And his challenge was stronger than any electronic challenge, by the way. Okay, I know you'll take good time in discussing this, I think afternoon, in the evening, discussion. Anyhow, in the time of discussion, you will take your time to take this practically. But let us...